Sometimes, like, people will say, my computer won't do that, or I couldn't be on this call because my computer didn't work, or my computer won't connect in this way, or things like that, you know? I'll be like, that's a kind of a rough way of phrasing it, because the reality is
your computer has no issue.
Right. You can't figure it out, or you don't know how to do it, and that's a very big, different thing. And in a relationship, it's like sometimes it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
But it's not the relationship that doesn't work. It's the method of acting within the relationship. The computer works fine. It's just user error. In this case, our relationship is fantastic. Sometimes we have user error. And so we don't run to the computer shop when we're having a user error.
Yeah. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Interracial Couple Podcast. My name is Sarah.
And I am Matthew. This week, we are continuing our Lover's Journal journey. So happy that you are with us. This has just been a wonderful journey to be going through. There are times where doing this journal and then sharing it with the public has been pretty revealing, at times uncomfortable, but also like true and honest and authentic, which has made some of the pain in some ways, I want to say, of putting it all out there actually worth it, because there is something about just going ahead and saying, this is how it is for me.
Yeah. There's power in speaking how you're feeling.
Yeah.
And this journal, it just makes it really easier to just, express how you're feeling.
Yeah, it's been really nice. It was either last week or the week before where we discussed trying to fit into the relationship as opposed to like contorting, as it were, almost, right? Where you're like, I'm going to make all these compromises, or I might not like this that much, but I'm going to do it anyways because I think this is what this person wants, as opposed to showing up and being totally authentic. And the quote for this week is, the beginning of love is to let those we love be perfectly themselves and not to twist them to fit our own image. Otherwise, we love only the reflection of ourselves we find in them.
Hmm.
Right? Sure, there's a bit of a sort of a play between really just loving you or your partner and accepting them as they are. And then also knowing that we do want to hold something within us and for them so that they can actually grow, so that tomorrow they're not the same person they were yesterday, but the person that they are today is perfectly loved and okay.
Actually, that quote just reminded me that I was talking to a friend over the weekend and they broke up with their partner, and I was like, do you miss them? And they said something that was so like, wow. He was like, I miss the idea of who I thought they were, not who they were.
Right.
And that distinction was so important because like the person, I missed the person I wanted them to be, but not the person who they were. And the person who they were was just, I just wanted to like them so much that I kind of created that in themselves. But the person who she actually was not a very good human being, you know? And so I was just like, ooh, when you can have those two distinctions between the person you want your lover to be,
yeah,
and the person who, and in this case, also allowing you to be you and not the person who I want you to become is so important.
Right. And that's hard because actually sometimes the person who I also want you to be is actually not the person that I need. You know, that's also can be part of my own pathologies, my own patterns of like, you said something to me a long time ago that I thought was kind of really interesting. You know that one thing that was important to me in you and in my life partner was someone who was really sort of self-sufficient. And that was just important. And I got into this pattern of kind of going back and forth to like, hey, did you do that? Kind of checking up on you and checking up on you. And at one point you're like, you're going to create this thing that you don't want me to be, you know? because now why do I have to pay attention if I know that you're just going to remind me anyways? So you're creating this imbalance in our relationship, creating the thing that I don't want. So I think that's also kind of this important distinction, which is that sometimes what we want the other person to be is actually something that's going to fulfill a part of ourselves that's not who we are aspiring to be, nor who we want to aspire to be.
Yeah.
And if I can like do these certain things, like erode your confidence over time to where you feel like, oh my gosh, Matthew, you're so practical and I'm not all that practical, therefore I depend on you. Now I've created this thing that I don't want and it's not actually even true. You're totally practical. You are very competent, but I can accentuate any imbalance there to the point where you can now be dependent upon me because there might be a part of me that wants to feel good, like, ooh, she needs me, but that's not really healthy in our relationship.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important and there's just so much that we can dig through with it that I think is really, that's really vital.
Yeah.
And so as we embark in this week, something that we will go through and certainly open up for all of you who are listening to consider this question. And this can be something for a current relationship or something that you actually really want. I'll say that the first prompt this week is, what are the three key elements in your relationship that make it wonderful and or meaningful? You know, going into our relationship, one of the things that worked so well for me is that I was clear what was important to me before we got together. Mm. And some of that was through writing down and journaling, what are the elements? We picked three, but I actually put down, if I remember correctly, this is years ago now, but there were maybe about 12 elements that I wanted to have in my relationship.
I remember it being 10.
Could have been 10. Yeah, you could be right.
I remember it being 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like 7 were like a must.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, honestly, like, there is certainly that piece of, wait, I'm not going to be able to, I found the closest thing to a unicorn, but the idea that, like, I'm not looking for perfection. I'm not looking for like checking the boxes, but also being aware really what was important to me.
Yeah. And I think that is so important. Like people go into relationship not knowing what they want, you know, and it's, oh, anything else. Like you should, you know, I'm not even starting to get that to that point. Is like when I make a phone call, it's like, I ask myself, like, why am I making this phone call? Like,
right.
What do I want out of this phone call? If it's to a friend, do I just want to check up on them, you know? And for the same reason is like, it's really good to know even now as like how I want our relationship to be, is something that I need to be like very clear about because then I make choices every day towards that,
right?
You know? So
really nice.
Yeah.
So then for you, like why don't you share the key elements in your relationship that make it wonderful and meaningful?
So one of them is like respect. And it's not respect in the way that, like, when I was writing it, I was thinking, like, what do I mean by respect? It's respect, respecting your point of view. Because sometimes we have different point of views. We don't see things the same. We come from different cultures. We have different genders. We're just two different people. And sometimes our point of view don't necessarily line up. Mostly our values and perspective are very similar. But one of the things like I am choosing every day is that I will respect your point of view. I know I don't necessarily need to agree with what you're saying, but what you're saying is important. And that, like when I was journaling about it, I was like, this is something that I need to be conscious of. And it's really important to keep our relationship meaningful and wonderful is like, at all points, I'm open to listening to what you have to say and valuing what you have to say, even when I don't agree with it.
Very nice. Yeah.
So that's my commitment to making this relationship to keep being wonderful and meaningful. And that is not like I have to choose that every day because, to be honest, you're wrong most of the time.
I couldn't argue with that.
And you're right. Sometimes. But even no, when...
I don't even know if I'm right sometimes. I think at the grand scheme of things, the older I get, I look back and it's like, there was partial right and more wrong.
Even when I know it's my way or the highway, it's like, I still gotta listen.
Yeah.
And I still have to respect and value what you're saying.
Yeah. And I actually, that was kind of similar to what my first thing that I wrote was too, because this is kind of funny that we're syncing up here as of week 11 or something. But the balance of being honest with our own needs with the needs of the other. And I think what's important and what makes us work so well is that it is truly a two-way street. If it wasn't a two-way street, it doesn't work, because at one point, one person ends up just giving a little bit too much. If one person's needs are constantly taking precedent, then it's really not going to be healthy.
Yeah.
But if there's a real balance, and that it was the balance. So there's actually kind of similar to what you just shared.
Yeah.
Or so, there's a relationship to those two things anyways.
So my second one. Oh, no, you share your second one.
My second one? Yeah. Okay. You know, I put this. I've been in men's groups.
Mm-hmm.
And you have been in women's groups.
Yeah.
And together we have done self-development, personal development work, including Landmark, which we did together. And I think those were really key.
Mm.
You know, that we actually had a place that we could go for just to kind of, to really be exploring ourselves. Now, we were both in relationships when we were younger. And you know, one of the things that I knew in my younger relationships was I didn't know myself as well. You know, and so as far as a key to the relationship, one of those keys is the more that I know myself, the more I'm also okay giving something up.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm uncertain and I have to give something up that I feel is really important to me, and by giving that up, I feel like I'm giving up a part of myself, then making any kind of compromise or whatever is just really, really difficult. But if I'm like, you know what, I could spend... you wanted to move to Kenya, and I'm like, fine, I'll go. Let's move to Kenya. That's not a problem for me to move to Kenya, because I'm not giving up. I'm not like losing myself. I'm not losing my life. We can live a certain way, even if it's like we're going to have dinner at this time because I want to have breakfast at one time and you want it another time or whatever that is. You know, I can try that for a year or two, and it's not going to change who I am. So I feel like...
Because you already know who you are.
Right. So that has something to do with age, but it also has to do with the effort that came in. And you know, around the time we met, you had done a lot of women's work. I had done some men's work and continued to do more. And then we did this work together. And, you know, you have a place to go and talk to other women who are not there to make you feel better about yourself, but to help you to uncover your own truth. So therefore, you couldn't actually go and say, oh my gosh, Matthew is being so blah. And they're not going to be like, oh my God, yeah, you know, anti-Matthew, pro-Sarah, anti-Matthew, pro-Sarah. Instead, it was like, let's try to understand this. And therefore, like, I love that you go and talk to your girlfriends.
Yeah.
And a lot of those people are people that you were connected to through your women's work, because I know that none of them are ever going to like turn around and want to take a crap on me.
No.
Because that's too easy. The hard part is to say, I'm going to make a stand for your greatness. And your greatness is not bashing the guy that's not here. It's actually saying, you know, let's understand what we can from his point of view. Let's see what can you do within it. And so I feel like our men's group, women's group, and Landmark/personal development work is a major, major key element in a wonderful relationship that we have.
I love self-development work just because it helps me understand myself, you know. So what I did, and I think it almost kind of, it's very similar to that. I was like, how we allow each other to be vulnerable. Like, you've seen me at my worst. You know, like what I would not like want or be embarrassed if other people saw me that way is like crying and not knowing what to do. You let me go there, and then I come back to the strong woman that I am, and knowing that if I show you my weakness, it's not like I'm being weak. I'm just being vulnerable. And that is something that is really, really amazing, because I've seen you cry. And still, you're still, you know, like, we allow for that in our relationship, you know, and knowing that you can see that and there's no judgment, there's no shame, and you're going to hold space because you know I am going to have a comeback.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Nice. My number three was, we don't try to please each other, but we're willing to upset the other. So it's like, I can take the risk, you know? I can take the risk to make a mistake in our relationship. So it's not about pleasing you, it's about being authentic. And it, sometimes being authentic means I want something that you really don't, or what's really important to me is really, it, the opposite is important to you.
Yeah.
And if I hold that in a way where I can find resentment, then it's going to come back and bite me. So I don't need to please you. And there are times where I don't. And sometimes we fight because you don't please me or I don't please you. And that's okay. And it doesn't, it's not a referendum on our compatibility or on our relationship. It's simply part of the process of growing and learning. And how do I, how do we fit in this life together? And it's funny, I'm fairly technically savvy. And so sometimes like people will say, my computer won't do that. Or I couldn't be on this call because my computer didn't work, or my computer won't connect in this way, or things like that, you know? I'll be like, that's a kind of a rough way of phrasing it, because the reality is
your computer has no issue.
Right. You can't figure it out, or you don't know how to do it. And that's a very big, different thing. And so I think, and I'm just using that as a, in like in a relationship, it's like sometimes like, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's not the relationship that doesn't work. It's the method of acting within the relationship. The computer works fine. It's just user error. In this case, our relationship is fantastic. Sometimes we have user error. And so for my number three, it's really that the user error is okay. You know, we don't try and we don't run to the computer shop when we're having a user error.
Yeah. My number three was, we do things together. We walk out together. I've been known, I got this from somewhere, that couples that walk out together stay together. But we do a lot of things together. We take walks together. Like we do little mundane things together. And we also find like so much meaning in the mundane. And I think I've kind of like said this in another podcast where we just take a walk on our street, a walk on Kenfield. And that has just become like so amazing for me to just walk up our street in the morning and in the evening to just, you know, just take a walk. And we, yeah, I just enjoy the things that we did together.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can also say that last week we got to a point where we needed some time not to do things together. And I went on hikes with my friends. You made a bunch of phone calls to talk to your friends. You had to go do, you did a few things without me, you like went on and drive and went and did whatever you needed to do. And after 3 days of doing very little together, we then kind of jumped back into doing things together. And it wasn't like a negative thing of, I can't do this with you. It's like, you know what? And you even said like, I need some space. And it could have been construed fairly harshly. You're like, I don't want to do our Monday morning meeting anymore.
You know, it's kind of interesting because the next challenge is exactly that what I wrote.
Ooh, let's go into that.
Yeah.
So what is the challenge?
The first question. Let's read the prompt. Do you want to read the prompt?
Yeah, yeah. What is one challenge from your relationship that you now see as a benefit in your love life or just your life? But pause also and let our listeners take a moment. Like, what are those challenges that become, that you're like frustrated with or whatever, that you later come to see, oh, I had to go through that challenge so that I had mastery or a higher degree of mastery in my life or in my relationship. So
I'm going to go back. And when we were living in Kenya and I came back to California and for 2 months, and then I came back to Kenya, there was something nice. There was like some rekindleness of our relationship. And then you left for a month and you went to Germany and I stayed home in Kenya. And you came back and there was just something special about being away from each other. But right before then, I would be gone like a weekend with a friend and I would come back or somewhere, a couple hours, and I would come back and I would be like, babe, did you miss me? And you would be like, no. And my feelings would be hurt. I was just like, And then I was like, then lie. Literally, I was just like, if I ask you that next time, just say yes. Like, did you miss me? Lie about it. Just say yes. But you never did. You'd be like, no, did you miss me? And some days you'd say, yeah, I missed you. But having spent so much time, and the challenge is that COVID has happened. We both run our own business from home. And we've spent so much time together. Is that I've come to appreciate this space. And so last week I was like, there was a challenge and we were not getting along. And I was like, I need space. And I really didn't know how to ask for space. And so I asked for that space like any angry person would ask for it.
Like any angry person would do. Yeah. I yelled at you about it.
I yelled at you about it. I was like, I need space. But what came out of that is like me coming back and really like almost apologizing for the way I asked for space, but also taking that opportunity to actually ask for honor space. Like we both need some space from each other. And now like when you, over the weekend, you went hiking with a friend, I stayed home and took that moment to be by myself, you know, or to like, yeah. So I feel like the challenge is that there are moments where I'm like, oh, we didn't like in the beginning of our relationship, we didn't spend as much time together. And then we had last week that challenge because we're spending too much time together. Mm-hmm. And just knowing how to ask for that.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
What about you?
Compromise. Two of those things were like, really like, where do we live? Do we have children? You know, when we first got together, you know, like I was like, I didn't really want to have more children. And I'd also planned on riding my bicycle around the world. So I think one of the things was, and you know, is that compromise early on in our relationship was when I realized compromise can actually be a good thing. And some of that could be terminology, because compromise is usually like, oh, great. With compromise, you get the worst of both worlds. And so there might be a better terminology for that, but in a relationship, it's not uncommon that, oh, you know, we have to compromise and make these compromises for each other. And one of the things that I kind of came through that was, if I make a compromise and I do something that I don't want to do, then I'm also doing something that I never would have otherwise done. So for me, when we came up against these certain roadblocks of like, you really want something and I really want the opposite, would actually be like, can I actually choose to do this? Because I refused. I decided I'm not going to do anything unless I decide to choose it.
Yeah.
Meaning I'm not going to be like, okay, fine, I'll go. Because now I'm just going to be resentful. And now I'm just throwing resentment into the relationship. I refuse to do that. Which is simple. Like we've been talking about like, oh, are we going to travel at some point this spring? And I was like, you might go someplace. And if I don't want to go, I'm not going to go. And you might convince me that it's a good idea and why I could, so the way I can choose. But I am not going to go with any resentment. I'm going because I want to go. And if I can't get myself or you can't get me to want to go, then I won't go. And you might be really upset because you might be going to Kansas City or somewhere else without me. And I'll be like, sorry, I'm just not willing to do that. And I think
But if you choose to come to Kansas City, then
I'm going to choose it. And so that was this thing that early on in our relationship, there were these compromises that I really didn't want to make. And one thing that you said, like, and particularly was around children, you said, you don't even need to be, you know, agree or whatever, but if you're closed to something that's really important to me, if you're not willing to actually be fully open into conversing about it, then this doesn't work because you need to be willing to be open. I'm not asking for anything except an honest, true willingness to talk about it and truly consider it. So that was, oh, and then I can make a compromise. And in the compromising, be like, oh, this is neat. I never would have done that. Yeah. But now I'm going to do that. I never would have moved to Kenya. But now I'm going to do that. Like, I never would have bought a certain kind of car. We're talking about going to buy cars. Like, I would never buy that kind of car. You even kind of jokingly said, you know what? Since I've agreed to get the kind of car you want, it's like the next one, you get to choose. You know? And it's like, oh, okay, fine. So for a little while, I don't have the car that I want. So what? In the grand scheme of things, literally, so what? So that, I think, has just been just growing. And the older and the more time we spend together, the more I come to actually really appreciate the things that you bring that I don't want to do at first or that I would never consider because I don't want it, to be like, oh, I'm going to try something new. You know, like I moved to Kenya and I tried sheephead soup. I still can't get you to have runny yolks in your eggs. But at the end of the day, I win because I now will eat, drink sheephead soup, but you lose and you will not have runny eggs.
I will not have runny yolks.
So moving forward into this week, I think one of the questions that we can all take forward with us is, you know, what are the things that we want in a relationship when we don't have one? What are the things that are so important in our relationship? And also, what are the challenges that we have that have benefited us in the long run? So something for us all to think about this week. And until the next time, have a wonderful and amazing week full of love.
Yep. See you next time.